We've been on a series on Sunday mornings for a while now that we're calling Try the Spirits. And it's based on a scripture in 1 John 4. And you're believing with me again this morning to utterance is greatly affected by the hearer. 1 John 4, if you have not been with us previously, we're pretty deep into this now. I think we've done 15 previous parts of this. And so it would help you to have heard what came before because we're building upon each one. If you'll go to the website, was it faithlife.org, and go to the word supply, it's all there. Won't cost you anything, no charge. Take a little of your time. And folks that have been with us in prior messages, do you think they should hear the ones that have gone before? Well, they think you should hear the ones that went before. So 1 John 4, our text is this. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Have you ever heard the phrase, don't believe everything you hear?
That's right.
Well, that's what he's saying, but he's also acknowledging that there is something behind what you're hearing. Mm-hmm. Unseen influences.
Right, right.
Spirits. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. That word try could be translated examine or prove or test. Test the spirits. Well, what are we testing them to see? Whether they're of God. Not everything that is spiritual is of God. There are things that are spiritual and that are real, but they are not God. So not every revelation is God. Not every dream is God. Not every prophecy is God. Not every revelation is God. Well, how can I know which is and which is not? Well, that's why we're talking about it. Right? Try, test the spirits. Now, keep reading this because we're going to look at another part of this. Many false prophets are going out into the world, and this would be individuals, both men and women, that are supposedly speaking by inspiration, and it is spiritual, but it's not God. Verse 2, hereby know you the Spirit of God. Here immediately he begins to give us some understanding how to see if it's God or not. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, everybody say in the flesh. Now, this is a significant phrase. In the flesh is of God. Next verse. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come, what? In the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist. There are spirits that fight against Christ.
Exactly.
Anti. Whereof you've heard that it should come, and even now already, is it in the world? Verse 4. You are of God, little children. We are of the right spirit. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And have overcome them that are of the world in the wrong spirit, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Come on, put your hands on your midsection and say it out loud. Greater,
greater
is the spirit in me.
Than
all the wrong spirits that are in the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Greater. Greater. Now, Romans 12 talks about this. Romans 12 and 2. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, there's so much revelation in every verse. One of the things you see here is that this idea that everything that's happening is somehow the will of God cannot be true.
No,
I said cannot be true. Why? Because if everything that's happening is the will of God, I don't need mind renewal to find out what is the will of God. All I got to do is wake up and see what happens. No, the Bible tells us in Ephesians, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. He's telling us we need mind renewal so that we can distinguish what is God and what is not. What is God's will and what is not God's will. Because the fact is, like 1 John 5 talked about, the whole world is lying under the control of the evil one. 2 Corinthians 4:4 calls the devil the god of this world. So if the whole world is under the control of the evil one, how is God, our Father, controlling everything in the world? See, those two don't agree. Well, no, there's all kind of things happening down here that are not God and are not God's will, not God's plan, and don't please Him. And the reason they're happening is because God gave us a free will. And that's the problem. You don't have to listen to God. You can rebel against Him. And that disobedience and all that stuff has given place to the evil one in our midst so that he's able to do all kind of bad things, but it's not God. Now, we can't control everybody in the world. We're not going to be able to control everything that's going on around us. We can control ourselves. Are you with me or not? We can control ourselves. Go with me, if you would, to Matthew, the 26th chapter. Now, we saw this in Galatians 5, that he talked about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Just a little bit of review for those of you that weren't with us. We begin to talk about how can I tell if the Spirit is of God or not. Well, Jesus said, by their fruits you'll recognize them. You'll know them. And then Galatians 5 gives some detail about the fruit are what the Holy Spirit produces, and in what he calls the works of the flesh is actually what wrong spirits produce. Well, why call it the works of the flesh? Because that, the flesh, is the access point for the wrong spirits. Do you remember the Bible said, don't give place to the devil, resist the devil? That means the enemy is looking for access. He's looking for a way in. Well, where does he find it? The flesh is the point where he finds access, and the fleshy mind. The flesh and the fleshy mind. Now, Romans 8 talks about to be carnally minded is death. That word carnal is the same word translated flesh. So to be fleshy minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You yield to the wrong things through the flesh and you'll have wrong spirit activity. And that'll result in stealing, killing, and destroying, death. You yield to the Holy Spirit, right? And you'll have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And in that is life and peace. So it depends on what we yield to, which one we give place to. And you'll find that the weak spot is the flesh. Huh? In Matthew, the 26th chapter. Why would we be talking about this? Because it's fixable. I said it's fixable. It's possible to stop the access, to shut the door to the enemy. In Matthew 26, 37, Jesus took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. This is right before he went to the cross. And he said to them, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." There was enormous pressure coming against Jesus. Was it coming from the Father? Where is it coming from? The enemy. Keep looking. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed. He said, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." What cup? The cup of suffering, of being made sin with our sin and being judged for it. We really don't know how terrible it was. What happened that you could see him being nailed to the cross, as bad as that wasn't the bad part. The bad part was what happened spiritually.
Yeah.
Because all of the sins, think about this, all of the sins, and I mean there are some bad stuff. Of all generations, past, present, and future, of all the billions of human beings that had lived or would ever live, converged on his sinless, spotless being, and he became sin. He didn't just sympathize with it, he became it. And that's why the Father had to look away and let judgment fall on him for all that sin. And that's when he cried out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" This was awful beyond telling. And then this continued for the 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth. But that's, Jesus was not taken by surprise by that. The Father had prepared him for that. And you remember Elijah and Moses met him on the mount and even talked to him about it. I mean, he was prepared, and yet it was awful beyond description. And so he's praying, "Father, you can do anything. All things are possible with you." In other words, can we do this another way without me having to be judged and separated and becoming sin like this? Is there any other way? There was no other way. If he hadn't become sin, you and I would have died in our sin and we would be lost. Oh, somebody say, "Thank you, Master. Thank you, Jesus." No, none of us could save ourselves. We had to have a Savior, or else we're lost. We have to pay for our sins. Thank God he paid for them.
Yes.
He went to the heart of the earth. He was judged for it. So I'm not going to be judged
thank
for
you,
it.
Lord.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
I'm not going to hell.
No.
I'm not going to be punished for my sin. Because him who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. He has made me right. I didn't make me right. He made me right. Hallelujah. Oh, that's enough to shout about the rest of your life, the rest of your existence. But now notice this. He said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. So a big part of his being is saying, "I don't want to do this." But he keep coming back to saying, "But I will do what you say." This is submission.
Yes.
And it takes faith to do this, right? And he comes to his disciples and he finds them asleep. And he says, Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Because he had told them to come with him. He didn't say, come take a nap. Right? He said, come and watch with me. And pray with me. He's wanting support and backup because this is the point where it talks about blood was coming out of his pores because of the pressure that was on him. What was the pressure? And we're talking about spirits and we're talking about influence. What are wrong spirits trying to push him to do? Don't do this. Right? Don't go through with this. Don't do this. And the spirit of fear and the spirit of everything else was pushing him to the point that him, instead of giving in, he's resisting it. And the resistance was so great that blood started coming out of his pores. Now, Hebrews 12, hold your place here and put up Hebrews 12 and 2. Hebrews 12 and 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. See, faith knows ahead of time what God's going to do. Even though it doesn't look like it and feel like it. Even when Jesus was there enduring all that, even when they were mocking and scourging and hitting him, even when they were nailing him to the cross, he's not just looking at that. You know what he's looking at? He's looking at past this. He's looking at the resurrection. He's looking at salvation for me and you. And that's how he got through it. That's how he endured it. Verse 3, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Keep going. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Yeah. Now, sin, another way you could say sin is giving in. Right. Say that out loud. Sin is giving in. Giving in to what? Giving in to the influence, the pressure, the temptation, the suggestions of wrong spirits. They're real, and the pressure is real. And that's one of the reasons why if somebody really messes up, really fails, really falls, you and I are not qualified to judge them. For one thing, we don't know how they were tempted. Sometimes you'll hear people say, well, I've never even been tempted to do that. Exactly. Yeah. Huh? Because if you were, you might have fell immediately. Yeah. Can you see this? Yeah. To brag that you've never been tempted, that's not saying a thing. It doesn't mean you haven't overcome anything. But you'll find that the greater your assignment and the more you are doing the will of God, the enemy is going to try to assign more pressure, more temptation. You see what I'm talking about? To get you to compromise, to give in and sin and fall. And so when we see that somebody has fallen and messed up, don't judge them. Right. Everybody say, don't judge them. Don't judge them. Maybe it's obvious what they did is not right. And you might be able to say, well, that's not right. Yeah, but don't judge them because you don't know their heart. You don't know what they knew, what they didn't know. You don't know how they were tempted. You don't know any of that. You and I are not qualified to judge. The Bible said, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Anytime something happens like that, you need to immediately go, man, except for the grace of God, that could be me. Amen. Right? And if you say, oh, no, dear God, I'd never do anything like you don't know what you're talking about. Exactly. You've never been in that place or in that temptation. Don't say that. You don't have to, but don't get mouthy. Huh? It'll only be by the grace of God that you're able to stand where somebody else failed. And so Jesus is he resisted. Everybody say resisted. Now see, we saw this in Ephesians 6. It kept talking about stand against, stand against, stand against, stand against. James said resist, resist. First Peter said resist, resist. That's what he's doing. Was it easy? It was not easy. It got to a place where, you know, you hear him crying out to the Father. Is there another way? Can we do this another way? Do I have to go through this? And yet he already knew. But he's seeing it. He's right there at it. And it is awful beyond words. And so he's asking the Father. And instead of just giving in, he's resisting to the point of blood coming out of his pores. I haven't been pushed that far. Have you? If he didn't give in as a human being with no unfair advantage over you or I don't have to give in. You don't have to give in. None of us have been pushed that far, tempted that far. So I can resist. You can resist. But now notice why he's talking to his disciples, because the same thing is coming against them. Now we know the rest of the story. In just a few hours, what's going to be going on? Huh? The guards are going to come to take Jesus away, right? He's going to let them take him away. The disciples are going to be flabbergasted. They're going to be shocked, huh? And next thing you know, they're going to be saying, I don't even know who he is. Because they're scared. Why? How could that happen? Because the same thing's going to happen to them. Wrong spirits pressuring them with fear. Come on, can you see this? Fear coming on them. The spirit of fear. And so he doesn't want them to give in either. He's resisting and not giving in, and he's telling them they don't have to give in, but notice how he said it. Verse 40, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? This is not just to help him and back him up. They don't know it, but what they do in the next few hours is going to determine whether they stand or fall the rest of the night or the next day or two. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Why does he say that? Because they could. They could have. Are we going to throw any rocks? Not a one. Verse 41, watch and pray. Why? So you don't, I'm going to say it like this, give in. So you don't give in. To what? Temptation. Well, where's the temptation coming from? Wrong spirits. Wrong spirits. The spirit indeed, talking about your spirit, is willing, but the flesh is what?
Weak.
Here's the thing. The flesh is weak. That's why we said Galatians 5, talking about all the works of the flesh. Witchcraft is one of them. People would consider that a spiritual manifestation, but it's called a work of the flesh. Well, is it spiritual or is it flesh? It's both. But the access point is the weakness of the flesh. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Weakness of the flesh. Flesh refers to this. I'm not just a body. You're not just a body. I'm a spirit. I live in this body. Now, as a believer, I've been born again.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And the Bible said, because I become a new creation in Christ Jesus, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. But that's on the inside. That's not on the outside. The day after you got born again, if you looked in the mirror, what'd you see?
Same thing.
Same thing. Is that right? Yeah. Same thing you saw yesterday.
Yeah.
You know why? Because your body did not get born again.
Right, right. It needs to be renewed.
And even today, maybe you've been walking with the Lord for 40 years, but your body is exactly the same kind of body that unsaved people have.
Right.
And your body will do exactly what unsaved people's bodies will do if you let it. If you let it. And so the weakness of the flesh is the access point the enemy seeks. He knows about the weakness of the flesh, and he knows that, you know, you've yielded to wrong stuff in the past, whether it was before you got saved or since then. He knows that, and your body has a memory of that. And that's why drug addiction, alcohol addiction, sex addiction, overspending addiction, whatever it might be, these things will continue to try to pull on you and pull you back into that. But greater is he. Oh, come on, help me out. Greater is he that is in you, not in your flesh, in your spirit, than he that is in the world. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go to 1 Corinthians, if you would, the 9th chapter. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians 9 and 27. In order to win the spiritual battles, you have to be aware of the weakness of the flesh. And you have to do something with your flesh. You have to control it. You can't trust your flesh any further than you can throw it. And not that far. Your flesh will do anything you let it do. It will do anything Joe Sinner or Susie Sinner down the road is doing if you let it. You have to get hold of yourself, your flesh. And there's this little two-letter word, N-O, N-O. Now, I know y'all sitting up there looking all holy, but could your flesh ever want something it shouldn't want or want to do something it shouldn't do? And what should you do? Just throw up your hands and go, I can't help it. I can't. I'm just weak. I'm just a man. I'm just weak. No, yeah, you're not even trying. No, you're not just a man, just a woman. You are a child of God. You are a son of God. You've been born again. You got the greater one inside you. Don't give us, I can't help it. It's a lie. Now, all of us have made mistakes, but this, you know, the devil made me do it. That is a lie. Wrong spirits cannot make you do anything. Cannot. Did you hear that? Wrong spirits cannot make you do anything. What they can do is pester you and annoy you and tempt you and suggest you to you and pressure you and push you. But it's up to you whether you give in or whether you don't. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, he said, I keep under my body. We might say today as King James, I keep my body under me. Who is me? The man on the inside. Right? I keep my body under. I bring it, my body, into subjection. Lest by any means, when I have preached to others, now Paul's talking about himself. Yeah. I myself should be a castaway.
Yeah,
why would Paul need to keep his body under control? Is Paul ever tempted to do something with his body that he shouldn't do?
Yeah.
Well, he's a human being living on planet Earth.
Yeah.
Huh? Listen to the amplified of this. He said, but I, like a boxer, I buffet my body.
Yeah.
Now, that's not buffet. Somebody said, I like that. I'm going to buffet. I'm going to buffet my body.
Yeah.
Right after service, I'm going to buffet. No, not buffet. 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 And then the Amplified describes Buffet, handle it roughly, discipline it by hardships, and subdue it. You got to get rough with yourself sometimes. I don't mean actually doing damage to your body, but I mean there are times you got to get yourself by the ear and say, shut up. No, we're not doing that. Not now, not tomorrow, not the next day, because the flesh has a voice. Huh? And it'll go, I saw that, and I want to go do that. Come on, help me out. What about that? I'm talking about things that are wrong, you know. You've already had two pieces of pie. And your body says, yeah, but there's three left. There's three. At some point, your body needs to hear,
No.
Yeah, but you know, we used to get high. Yeah, we used to get drunk. Yeah, we used to do this. We used to do that. Come and help me out. What's the word? No. No.
No.
Buffet. Buffet. Handle it roughly. Discipline it. You got to get a hold of yourself. Got to get a hold of your flesh. Now, there's a lot of people, they want to get rough with other people. But they let themselves off with every kind of excuse. You need to leave other people alone. Let the Lord deal with them. But get rough with yourself. Right? Get a hold of yourself and go, no. And there are times, you know, that your body will say, no, I don't want to get up. And I don't care if I lose my job. And no, I don't care. And I'm not going to do this. And I don't want to go to church. And I don't want to do this. Come on, help me out. What do? You better grab yourself by the ear and say, you're getting up now. And here we go. Right? Yeah, here we go.
Yep.
We're going to do what we should do.
Yeah.
And we're doing it right. But that's every day. This body, it's has had issues. It's fallen. It is yet to be changed.
Yes.
There's coming a time when this body is going to be changed.
Yes.
And this corruption is going to put on incorruption. And this mortal is going to put on, it's going to be great.
Yes.
We ain't there today. We're not there today. This is definitely corruptible and mortal and fallen, and you feel stuff and it'll want to do things it shouldn't do. I keep under my body. I bring it to subjection. He said, for fear that after proclaiming to others the gospel and things to pertaining to it, I myself, this is Paul talking about himself. He said, if I don't stay hold of myself, if I don't keep my body under control, I could wind up, even after I've preached all these wonderful things to everybody else, I could wind up rejected and disapproved. Can yielding to your flesh mess up things in your life? Oh, boy, can it? It can mess up your health. It can mess up your mental state. It can mess up your relationships, right?
Yes.
It can mess up your finances. It can mess up so many things. Tell me about that two-letter word. Tell me, that you use on your flesh and you mean it.
Yes.
You mean it. Everybody say it out loud.
I keep my body
under control by the grace of God. All right. All right. All right. Go to Romans, the 7th chapter, please. Romans 7. This Romans chapter 6 and 7 and 8 deal with this extensively. I encourage you, sometime when you're home by yourself, you're quiet, get your Bible out and read these three chapters carefully. Take time and read them, because he's talking about this flesh-spirit thing. This flesh-spirit thing. In Romans 7:14, we know that the law is spiritual. Do you know that? The law is not old and to be treated like it's nothing. The law was right, is right, will always be right. And it is spiritual. He said, but I am carnal. Now, that word carnal is that same word for flesh. I am fleshy, sold under sin. See, the access point for the enemy and sin is the weak flesh. Verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. What I would, that do I not. And what I hate, that I do. What's going on? Huh? Hold your place here and look in Galatians, the 5th chapter. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. Galatians 5, 16. But hold your place there in Romans. He said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and what? You will not fulfill the lust. Now, lust just means desire, longings, desires of the flesh. How do I not give in to sin? By yielding to the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Doing what He deals with me to do. Right? If somebody makes me mad, if your temper flares, your flesh wants to slap them real hard. Huh? Or if they hit you, your flesh wants to hit them harder and knock them out. But you're not just flesh. You have the greater one living on the inside of you, and he will come up and say, no, don't hit them. Forgive them. And do something nice for them. And your flesh will say, you got to be joking. What am I? I'm describing two things going on inside the same individual. He says what he's talking about in Romans. The flesh wants to throw down. But the Spirit, in contact with the Holy Spirit, is getting another direction. You got influences from the outside to do something wrong on the flesh. You got influences from the inside to do something good and something right. Who's going to make the call? Help me out. Huh? Who's going to make the call? You are. Nobody else can. You are. I am. I have to make the call. Do I yield to my flesh? Or do I yield to the Holy Spirit in my spirit? Huh? Do I slap them? Do I hit them? Do I knock them down? Do I wind up in the paper? Huh? Pastor of Faith Life Church in a fist fight downtown? Not good. Now y'all are laughing. But that's what Paul was talking about. If I don't keep my flesh under, I could wind up, even after all of my preaching and everything I've done, I could wind up. You and I can act stupid any day we decide to. Right? Any day we can get up in the morning and just be stupid. But you're dumb if you do. Because after you have your little fit and you do your little thing, you got to deal with it. Right? You got to deal with the aftermath. Sometimes let people say, well, they have to forgive me. Actually, they don't. God told them to. But that don't mean they will. And people can write you off. Be done with you. That got quiet. Well, no, they have to forgive me. No, they don't. He told them to. They should, but they don't have to. And if they forgive you, they say, yeah, I forgive you, but I never want to see you again. I'm not going to hold it against you, but bye. There's several different ways this can go. How many know it'd just be better get your flesh under control? Is that right? No temper tantrum. No cussing. No hitting. No fighting. No breaking furniture. No getting back. Okay, so you break up your dining table. Then what? Then you need a new dining table. Is that right? What you going to do? Now you're going to believe God to replace the dining table you tore up in your little temper fit? He's probably going to want to talk to you about why you need a dining room table. You're probably going to say, hey, come on in here and sit down. I just gave you a dining room table last year. What happened to that one? Flesh.
Yeah.
Flesh.
Yeah.
We all got flesh.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. And the flesh is not born again. The flesh is just like unsaved people's flesh. So it has to be controlled. Say it out loud again. I keep my body under control.
I keep my body under control.
He goes on to say, he said, walk in the Spirit. You'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is Galatians 5:16. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit, we could say, lusts against the flesh. What is lust?
Desire.
It's desire. So there is this longing and this desire, this antagonism between spirit and flesh. Because I got flesh here that's just the same as ungodly, unsaved, but and its nature hasn't been changed. But on the inside, I got the nature of God.
Yeah.
I got the Holy Spirit inside me. And so the enemy knows that the weak link is the flesh. And even though the spirit might be willing, the flesh can be weak. And so he's going to push on that flesh.
Right.
He's going to pull on that flesh, push on that flesh, try to get you so fleshy that you ignore what the Spirit of God is dealing with you on the inside. Keep reading. He said, flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary. The one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Talking about the things your flesh will want to do and sometimes really, really wants to do. But you can't do them without messing up your life. And then he says, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. And now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, and he starts naming off several things that are, he calls them works of the flesh, but you can see very obviously they're spiritual influences, right? Pushing on the flesh to do this. And then he gets to what he calls the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that's the Holy Spirit influencing you. Well, wrong spirits will try to influence you to adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. The list goes on. Rage, anger, the list goes on. But the Holy Spirit will influence you to what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, etc. So which one am I going to yield to? That's the question. Which one am I going to yield to?
Yeah.
Every day.
Right.
Yep.
That's a choice. Right?
Right.
Me, you, everybody. Every day. There's a choice.
Yes.
So back to Romans 7. The Lord's helping us, don't you think? Romans 7. 14 we started out. Romans 7, 14. The law is spiritual. I'm carnal, fleshy, sold under sin. Keep going. What I do, I allow not. What I would, that I do not. What I hate, that do I. Now, what's he describing? Don't act like you don't know what he's talking about. There are times you wound up doing something that you shouldn't have done. Huh? And then there are times you wind up not doing something that you should have done. Right? Made the wrong choice. Yielded to the flesh, yielded to a wrong spirit instead of the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, if I do what I would not, I consent to the law, it's good. Keep going. There's no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. Not in your spirit. In your flesh. Keep going. I know in me. Well, that's what we just got through saying, right? In my flesh dwells no good thing. The big thing we're looking forward to is getting this fixed.
Right?
Dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me. You know what the Lord said? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. How to perform that which is good, I find not. The good I would do, I do not. The evil I would not do, that I do. If I do what I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me, in my flesh. Keep going. I found a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I delight in the law of God after what? Inward man. But I see another law in my members. He's about to tell us what law that is just in a few verses. Warring against the law of my mind. See, that we talked about, it's not just the flesh, it's the fleshy mind. And that's what the enemy's coming against. Bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is where? That's talking about the body. Verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am. He said, I'm in a mess. Who will deliver me from this body of this death? Can anybody guess? How in the world am I going to get clear of this? How am I? I thank God. How am I going to get out? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how. That's how. Through Jesus Christ. Somebody say, through Jesus Christ. My Lord. He said, I with the mind, I serve the law of God. With the flesh, the law of sin. Keep going. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who do what? Whose choice is it? Whether I yield to the flesh or I yield to the spirit. It's my choice. Can the enemy make me yield to the flesh? He cannot. It has to be my choice. Will the Holy Spirit make me yield to him? He won't. But if you choose not to yield to your flesh and wrong things, but you choose to yield to the Holy Spirit, you will be completely delivered from all guilt, all shame, any condemnation about any mistakes you've ever made, because the blood of the Lamb can wash you clean. You might say, well, doesn't that matter, you know, isn't that true no matter what I do? No, if I yield to the flesh, my heart's going to bother me. That's not the Holy Spirit condemning you. That's your own heart. How do I get rid of the condemnation? Well, you need to admit what you did, and you need to repent, and you need to receive your forgiveness and cleansing so you're back to where he put you. But if you just yield into the flesh every other day, can you see what's going on? You're having to try to overcome your own heart bothering you. So that's not the way to live. Thank God, if you mess up, He's faithful and just. Is that right? To forgive. But it's better to go day after day after day, not giving in to the flesh. Right? Because then you really make progress. You get out of condemnation and you stay out of condemnation. And when you do that, your faith thrives. Your confidence in God really increases and works. Keep reading. He said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. See, he just got through saying in the 7th chapter, I see another law working in my members. You remember that? And see, he's telling us what that law is right here. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, he told about what the struggle was going on, and then he said, who and how can I get delivered from this body of sin and death? And then he said, it's through Jesus Christ. And how's it going to happen? This is how it happened. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You ought to say that just every once in a while. Say it out loud. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Where is that law working? In your members, in your flesh. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is inside you, and it is greater than what's working in your flesh. Keep going. What the law could not do, why? Weak through what? Through what? See, the flesh has always been the weak link. Weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of... Remember our text? What wrong spirit will not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh?
Yeah, that's right.
Can you see that?
Yeah.
That's where our redemption is happened. And for sin, what did Jesus do? He condemned sin in the flesh. Y'all are quiet. I hear gears moving. Huh? How did He do it? In the flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you walk after the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's how we get free and stay free from the pull of the flesh, is by building our spirit up, getting full of the Word, full of faith, prayed up, fed up. Come on, y'all listening? Spirit strong, starving the wrong desires of the flesh. Depending on the Holy Spirit's help, we can live free. I said we can live free. Said out loud, I walk not after the flesh. I walk after the Spirit.
I walk after the Spirit.
Now keep reading. They that are after the flesh, how can you tell you're walking after the flesh? Because that's what's on your mind. Can you see this? They mind the things of the flesh. Where's the battleground? How am I going to keep from yielding to the flesh? Huh? If I'm trying not to eat cake, help me out. Come on, help me out. Do I need to be looking online at cakes and recipes for cakes? If I got cakes on my mind, it won't be long till I got cake in my mouth. I got to get cake off my mind if I'm going to keep cake out of my mouth. I know that's simple, but is it true? the key to not having the flesh just seemingly overwhelm you is you got to stop feeding that desire.
Right,
you
right.
can't let your mind stay on that and camp on that, because if you do, the desire of the flesh is just going to get stronger and stronger and stronger until it torments you. And a lot of people, they'll wind up giving in. And then you got the aftermath of that. And we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but do we have to live that way? Should we be learning some things? You can't let it sit in your mind. Hold your place there, and in 2 Corinthians 10, have y'all got just a couple of more minutes? Hold your place there, but 2 Corinthians 10:3, I know we've gone through this, but having heard this today, these phrases will stand out more to you. 2 Corinthians 10:3, though we what? Walk in the flesh. What does that mean? I have a body. I'm living in this body in this time, but I don't war after the flesh. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That's the same word that in the previous verse was translated flesh. The weapons of my warfare are not fleshy, but they are real and they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. This is how I win battles. How? Verse 5, where to be carnally, fleshy minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. This is where the battle is won or lost. And my mind connects both the outward man, the flesh, on one side, and my mind connects the spirit on the other side. So I am aware and in contact with both realms, with my mind. And so it's up to me which one I focus on. I can focus on the outside and the flesh feeling and desire, which is where most people, they live entirely there. Or I can focus on the other side. I can focus inside where the greater one is. Hallelujah. Who's got all the answers for me and all the grace and all the help for me. And then the Lord said, since you be risen with Christ, set your mind, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, because you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. We need to count our body dead to sin, the scripture said.
Yes.
Come on, say it out loud. I'm dead to sin.
I'm dead to sin.
Come on, say it with conviction.
I'm dead
to sin.
Sin
does not rule over me.
My flesh
does not rule over me.
Sin
shall not
have dominion
over me. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death, and that's why I now have no condemnation.
Amen. Good. Come on.
Ooh, I'd have preached this to myself. Where were we here? Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity what? Every thought. Huh? So what if we're trying to stay away from cake? Huh? Then we cannot entertain any cake thoughts. Huh? Or you know, you used to have a drinking problem. How are you going to get free and stay free? The battle's in your mind. And the enemy will bring suggestions and thoughts. And have you ever noticed sometimes if there's something you're trying to stay away from, seems like it pops up on every corner? That's no accident. That's the enemy trying to set you up. And if you're smart, you won't even drive by that corner where the liquor store is. You, if the commercial comes on and they're holding up a colon, you're going to change the channel. You're going to, I do not need to see that. Right? Don't say, oh, I'm strong, you know, I'm saved, that don't bother me. Now you're lying again. You got to repent for two things. Make it easy on yourself. The Bible said don't make any provision for the desires of the flesh. What does that mean? You cut off all contacts to it. Every thought that is in that area, you got to grab it immediately and say no. If you can't change it where you are, you need to get out of there. Is that right? And if you're in your own space, change it. Make it easy on yourself. If you don't get it off your mind, next thing you know, you could be yielding to it. So said out loud, I have the mind of Christ. I take every thought captive to the obedience of God's word and God's will. Hallelujah. Back to Romans 8, and we'll close with this. They that are after the flesh, how can you tell if you are yielding to the flesh, you're walking after the flesh? Because that's where your mind is. That's where your focus is. But if I'm going to be spiritual, if I'm going to walk after the Spirit, if I'm going to yield to the Spirit, how can I tell I'm doing that? That's what's on my mind. That's where my mind is. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded, that's the word for flesh, to be fleshy minded is death. That's serious. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, this is another way you can tell how you're doing. How about you're all agitated? You got no joy. You got no peace. What do we know? Your mind has been in the wrong place for a while. Because the scripture said, thou will keep him in perfect peace. Whose what? Whose mind is stayed on thee. So if your mind had been stayed on him, you wouldn't be in this shape. So depressed, so hopeless. How'd you get there? Well, the devil, maybe now he can't make you do a thing. Huh? Well, nobody would help me. No, nobody can control your mind for you. It's your mind. Nobody made you sit there and cry and feel sorry for yourself for 3 hours. You decided to yield to that. And now you're in a mess. And you do that for days and months, you can get suicidal. You can lose your mind. But you can't even blame it on the devil. Because any one of us can do that.
Yeah, that's right.
Huh? Yeah. I could go home today, slouch down in my chair, and say, nobody appreciates all I do. Huh? And I'm just tired. Tired of being tired. I've been burning the candle at both ends. Who cares? But I'm not stupid. I said, I'm not stupid. Huh? I'm not going to let my mind go there. I'm not going to let my mind stay there. These are lies. I'm a blessed man that I get to do this. Come on, y'all. I am a blessed man. I am blessed in so many places and so many ways. So I'm going to keep my mind stayed on him. And I can tell if I'm doing it or not because I will have the peace that passes understanding and the joy that is my strength. And see, isn't that some of the, think about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, right? That means I got my mind in the right place. I'm yielding to the Holy Spirit, not these wrong spirits. Keep reading. They that are after the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Oh, there's a lot more, but go ahead and stand up before I get started again. Say it out loud. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lift your hands. Lift your voice. Lift your praises. Oh, the Lord is so good. He helps us so much. He's showing us, revealing to us, enabling us, equipping us. Altar workers, you can come down to the front, please. Just lift your hands. Lift your hands. Lift your voice. Lift your heart. Oh, thank you, Lord. Most of the world just lives controlled by darkness, controlled by their flesh, controlled by wrong thoughts and desires. We're in this dark world, but we're not of this world. And we are children of light. And we live in the light. And we walk in the light. And we live free. We don't know who's watching, but if you would just close your eyes and focus on the Lord for a moment. We don't know who's in the buildings or who's watching online. We get testimonies just pretty regularly of people that were watching from a cyber cafe or a coffee shop or their office or home. Got saved, got filled with the Spirit, sitting there by their computer, by their laptop, by their phone. So everybody said out loud, Father God, I believe in you. I believe in your power, your light, your goodness, your life. Thank you for sending Jesus, who took my place and paid the price for all my sins. Thank you that you have raised him from the dead, free from it all, and have given to me full salvation by faith in him. Jesus, I confess you the Lord of my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. As you help me, I will live for you. I will follow you all my days. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. These things are going to help us that we're talking about today, because I didn't write these verses and these things that we were reading. These words are stronger in us than they have been before. And what's happening is the Lord, he will alert us today, tonight, tomorrow, Tuesday morning, Thursday afternoon. He will alert us when they're wrong spirits trying to push us through the flesh. And we won't just act like unsaved people or folks that don't know. We will know immediately what's going on, what to do, how to resist, what to do with our mind. Come on, y'all with me? And to stay free. Thank you, Lord. Is this good or is this good? Walking in victory. Oh, praise God.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.